Merry Christmas. The McElroy clan is gathering at Sean's later today. We do Christmas on Christmas Eve, so by Christmas morning, we're done. And it's really nice to have the whole day Christmas to watch NBA and that kind of stuff. I really didn't know what to expect this morning in terms of participation as we drove by multiple churches on the way. I could see that the parking lots looked rather empty. And so I could tell that we probably were going to be a little bit down. And that surprises me in some ways because you remember last year, worship was actually on Christmas Day. And I expected this to be really down, and we really weren't. There were a lot of people here last Christmas Day. So I guess it depends on whether you're going to Christmas or you're there yet as to how people kind of fit their things together. But it is a wonderful time of year. It's great to be with family, and hope that you enjoy very much this holiday period. How many of you remember the old TV show Mork and Mindy? Okay, I'm in a lot of trouble. Robin Williams is kind of his opening foray into entertainment, I guess, is the way you would say that. Was an alien from another planet. I think it was Mork from Ork or something like that. But the first year of that program, when they do the Christmas episode, Mork really tries to get in the Christmas spirit. And I actually went back and watched this. So I was make sure that I was telling and sharing it right. But he fails completely. He just doesn't do a good job doing Christmas presents. And so he's really kind of disappointed in doing that. And after all the party type thing is over, what he does for the three people here in the picture is he allows them through his extra power to relive their favorite Christmas memory. Well, talk about a great gift, tremendous gift, and the you know, all the silly kind of presents just really went away as they thought about the things that they shared, and it's interesting to hear the things that they shared. I wish, and I didn't think of it early enough, I wish I'd asked some of you all to share some Christmas memories today, either written or from the pulpit or something like that. I'll try to remember to do that at another point in time. I did look at some other people's. One year, my dad decided on Christmas Day to try something he'd read about in a magazine, cooking salmon in the dishwasher. So dad actually steamed the fish in the dishwasher. Pretty strong memory that person would have in mind. My favorite memory was the Christmas Eve we always spent at my grandparents' house in San Francisco. Shortly after arriving, my grandpa Fred, a.k.a. Papa, would come down the stairs in a Santa hat, red t-shirt, and a white blazer. He was a lawyer and was shaving cream all over his face for a beard. He was a very emotional man, and the sight of all of the grandkids just made him sob with joy, and the shaving cream always got a little bit messy. Another guy talks about the fact that on Christmas Eve, their heat went out in their house. And so dad's suggestion was put everybody in the living room and we'll stoke the fireplace up as hot as we can get it and try to keep everybody warm for this evening. And as an adult looking back, it was like, that was the time that I really remember the most about Christmas. Another guy said his came from the Christmas story that he wanted a skateboard. And people kept saying, you know, you'll get hurt. And so with immediate, he went out, fell, and broke the two front teeth off, his top front teeth off. The funniest one that I found, you probably won't think so, but this family had moved into a new neighborhood, and some carolers came by. And they invited the two daughters, ages 7 and 8, to go with them caroling. And the parents said, no, that's okay, you know. And they said, no, please, we'd love to take them caroling. And so they said, well, you can do one house. And so they said, okay. So the two little girls went out with the carolers, walked over next door, and they said, okay, what songs do you know? And they said, well, we're Jewish. So they wound up singing Jingle Bells and the theme song from Friends, because those are the only two songs that everybody in that uh, in that group knew. Probably all of us, if we were asked to give us our favorite memory, could share various things. I won't belabor that point any further. Sometimes people say, is December the 25th really Jesus' birthday? And often I say kind of facetiously, well, there's a 1 in 365 chance. But this year I thought, I'm going to really spend some time with that and go back and see, see what I can find. I've kind of just shuffled that off to the Christians had kind of hijacked a pagan holiday. But the more you study that, the more you get back to the 1 out of 365. There are plenty of days that people keep coming bringing forward, but biblical archaeology review, I just listed on and on and on all the many days that various groups believe that it's actually Christmas Day. And that's caused me to think about it a little bit. We don't know. Well, why not? Is there a reason that the Bible doesn't tell us the day of Jesus' birth? Can you look around you and see things that are going on right now that give you some ideas about that? Are there maybe some things that we do at Jesus' birth that not really the best choice? Now, there are wonderful things that happen this time of year. I'm impressed and continue to be impressed that our culture continues to take time, to set aside time, to in many ways facilitate family and the gatherings. And so those foundational things that happen within a family are very, very positive. And I'm grateful that we have those opportunities. But at the same time, you look around and you can start to say, well, there's families gathering in love, and that's a blessing that goes with that, and I'm certainly glad that we have that. But commercialization and attention, the pressure, the preparation, the drama, the overindulgence, the loneliness, and one of my favorites is the pressure to be better than last year. You know, this has to be the best Christmas ever, and you've had all these many, many years of great Christmases. It gets harder and harder to do at times. And so, while I don't think that we're making an overall tragic mistake, I do think it's important that we try to keep in balance the things that we believe, the things that Jesus taught us. We honor him in special ways. Now, when I was a kid, you didn't talk about Jesus in December. That was just, we went so far the other way that we kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater. And so it's good that we can talk about Jesus. There are people who will talk to you about Jesus right now who won't any other time of the year. They'll let you have conversations and they'll interact with you in ways that they won't. And so it's useful and beneficial that we can have those kinds of situations. There's a slide coming up next. How many observe Christ's birthday, how few his precepts. Oh, 'tis easier to keep holidays than commandments. And it's interesting that everybody can get on board with celebrating the birth of Jesus. And if we leave it there, it feels really comfortable. God loved us enough to send his son to this earth. And we can celebrate that. That's a wonderful thing. And yet, as we look at the whole story, it starts to have more impact and it starts to ask things of us in that process. Now, I have been sharing the 7 I Ams of Jesus through beginning at the end of November, going through December, and then we'll carry over into January. When I first started putting that together, I really liked the way those 7 fit. The one right after Thanksgiving, we did living water, and then we talked about food and light and shepherd, and all those things fit in really nicely. The last two fit in really well with the end of the year and the beginning of a new experience. But as I looked at the idea of Jesus as resurrection, it was like, well, that doesn't really fit in the story. Jesus says to us in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Who's Jesus talking to there? Martha. At the occasion of the death of Lazarus. Lazarus is about to be resurrected from the dead. And so it's in this context, Jesus introduces what he's fixing to do. Now, it's different between Lazarus and Jesus. Lazarus is reawakened to live some more human life. Jesus, of course, is resurrected from the dead in a totally new experience and in a new form, literally. And he becomes the first fruits of those who are resurrected from the dead. He says to Martha in the next verse, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. He says it twice. Do you believe this? And I think that's probably the rub where a lot of people like the Christmas story, but they're not sure if they like the whole story. Sometimes we'd like to pick and choose, and some people like to do that with the Bible. Let's pick the things that I'm interested in, and let's forget about the other things. And the reality is, it's the whole story. It's the complete story. And if we're looking at the story of a baby in the manger, then we're looking at the story of a man as a teacher. We're looking at the story of God's Son doing miraculous things. We're looking at the story of a man giving his life, and we're looking ultimately at the story who's resurrected from the dead. And all of that is included in what we find here. Jesus came to be our resurrection. He came to provide resurrection, but he also came to prove resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, looking at verse 17, going down through verse 19. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. There were people at Corinth who were having a problem with this concept of resurrection. Probably they were considering themselves being too intelligent to really believe this myth or this story. And so they were leaving it aside. They were rejecting it. And Paul hits them really hard here. If you look at it that way, you're still in your sin. If you look at it that way, you have hope only in this life. And that's not where we need hope. We need hope for the whole narrative. We need hope for the fact that Jesus is coming back. We need hope for the fact that everybody who dies in Jesus is going to be with him and the Father in heaven. Jesus was more than a baby in a manger. He was the sacrifice of our sins, but he's also the proof and the evidence of resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, the verse that follows that says, But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Very first one. Now, when you look at that passage, do me a favor, please. Give me an early Christmas present. Don't come to me afterwards and say, you know, first fruits is two words. It is. But this is a direct taking from the NIV. And so when those situations come up and there are grammar issues or spelling issues, I'm always going to use what it actually says in the version and not try to rearrange it. Jesus says, I've come to be the resurrection. Why? So that you can have life. Now, what difference does that make? How would it affect you to know that this life is all there is? I've shared with you before, I won't go back through details again, but one of the things that I'm called upon to do from time to time is to do funeral services for people who don't believe in resurrection? Those are so hard. They're so painful. It changes everything. There are families who don't believe that's possible. And they're saying goodbye to a loved one who didn't believe that was possible. And the way they approach that, and the way they cope with that, and the way they deal with that is so much different. Jesus told Martha, he says, you're not going to die. Lazarus hasn't died. There's something else that's going on here. John chapter 10, verse 10, passage we read last week. We didn't focus on it, but was part of what we were reading. When Jesus talks about the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, the abundant life. Could you have a really abundant life? Could you have a really full life? Could you really celebrate this holiday if you were wondering about, is this all there is? The holiday is a celebration of life. It's a joy of renewal. It's a very, very positive thing, and we can enjoy that. But we have to keep in mind, and we need to keep in mind, and we're reinforced to keep in mind that this isn't it. We don't have an uncertain future. We may not know what's going to happen tomorrow, and we may not know ultimately what's going to happen with our physical life. Because of what Jesus did, he comes and is able to provide for us an absolute answer to whatever comes up in this world. The answer to that is there's another place where it's all going to be fulfilled. Because of Jesus, it's all been worked out. In the production, Les Miserables, there's a song, Empty Chairs and Empty Tables. And the song is sung about the comrades that have been lost in the struggle. And I know that when we gather for our Christmas gatherings, there are empty chairs. Maybe not literally, but as you look around your home, as you look around the place, as you look around your gathering, it's impossible to forget about the people who aren't there. What if you really had to believe that that was permanent? But it's not. When we miss those folks so very much, particularly so probably in the next couple of days, we get to say, there's going to be a reunion. There's going to be a homecoming. There's going to be a moment when we'll be reunited. Because a baby was born in a manger. Because our God loved us so much to provide for us an example of how to live. This Savior was willing to lay down his life. He was resurrected to a new life. And he stands as the absolute fulfillment of resurrection. And we can enjoy that. And we can rest in that. We can take comfort in that. And we can trust God to the point where we know that his promise is true and real. Would you pray with me? Dear God, our Father, we thank you so much for the many things that you give us and bless us with in life. Father, we thank you for this time, and a time when many will be with the people that they love and having extra special kinds of interactions, and just pray for the goodness of that. Father, I pray for the safety of those who are traveling and will be traveling, and ask that you would watch God for them. Father, we just can't comprehend what Jesus has done for us. We thank you for your love for us and his willingness to be the person, the being, come to this world. Father, we know that he's made many promises. He promises to us resurrection. Father, I just pray that we can capture that promise and pull that promise fully into our lives, that it can help us in moments of difficulty and moments of doubt and moments of confusion. And we pray for just a clear understanding of what that ultimately will be. And we pray this to your son, Jesus. Amen. This morning, if there's something that needs to be changed in your life, we encourage you to change it. If there's something you could do privately, we encourage you to do that. If there's something you need help with, we'd be glad to assist you in that process while we stand and sing together.